Greetings in the name of Jesus to each one of you this morning. I've been challenged this morning as I listened to the Sunday school. The thoughts and discussion there, I've been challenged in God's Word. I was challenged by Brother Dave's devotional this morning. I know some of you, I don't know you all real well. But apparently, God has something in Proverbs chapter 4, the last couple of verses for us this morning, that he wants us to know and to learn well. And Brother Dave and I didn't speak about what we're going to talk about this morning, and maybe we should have, but my thoughts are taken from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. The verse that I want to zero in on and use as my text is verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. As I read over those verses in my personal devotions some time ago, that verse made an impression on me, and I thought about it, and I rolled it around in my mind for a while. And I thought about something that I heard as a child. And I'm not sure, I haven't heard the phrase recently. I'm not sure if any of you have heard the phrase or have said it to somebody. But when I was a child, it was a common phrase, well, just follow your nose, you'll get there. I don't know if anybody knows of that phrase or not. But that can be used in a couple different ways. Some of it is, you know, if there's an aroma on the air, and maybe it's good and maybe it's bad, but we use our sense of smell and we kind of sniff it out, you know. If it's cookies baking in the kitchen, we'll find our way there. If it's a rat or a mouse dead in the corner somewhere, we'll find that too. But another thing that phrase was used as was, you know, well, you just go in the right direction. And many times, you know, when we're going somewhere, you know, we're looking or pointing in the direction that we're going, you know, and we're following our nose going. And, you know, it could be disastrous if I'm walking along and I happen to look out the side and, you know, I would fall. I've had that happen sometimes. Have you ever noticed that if you're walking somewhere or even driving somewhere and something catches your attention off to the side and you look that direction, many times you end up going that direction? That is the thought that I would like to follow this morning. Just follow your nose and you'll get there. The title of the message is Follow Your Nose. Brother Dave read the verses this morning, so I'm not going to take the time to do that. But I'd just like you to concentrate and think about verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, if we're going in the wrong direction, that's not good advice. But the writer here of Proverbs is telling us that in light of what he said earlier in the chapter about wisdom and instruction. Hold on to wisdom, latch on to it. Don't let it go. And in light of that, he says, keep your focus that way. Don't look to the left or the right. Look straight ahead and then travel that way. Ponder the path of thy feet. Think about where you're going, the direction you're traveling. Look at where you're going. Don't be distracted. Don't look off to the side, because chances are you're going to stumble over something or you're going to start heading that direction. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. There's one verse here, and I don't believe I'm taking it out of context. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Hebrew writer here is saying, make a straight path for your feet. Don't be wandering off to the side. Don't be going every crooked way. Concentrate, make a straight path for your feet, or a clear path, or a level path, or a right path. It says, do that so that the lame aren't turned out of the way. How do we do that? We live and walk that path. That's the best way for us to be a guide and to help those that are lame, to not turn them out of the way. You might not be the preacher standing up front, but somebody is following you. Somebody is looking up to you. Somebody is looking at your example and saying, that's where I want to be. And brothers and sisters, that's sobering. And we stop and think about that. Back in Psalms 5, Psalm of David, David says this in verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face." David is recognizing that he has enemies that want to distract him, want to push him off to the side, want to get him one way or the other. He's asking God, God, you make your way straight in front of me. Make your way clear, make your way plain. Help me to understand. Help me to walk in that direction. Help me to focus on where I'm going. Help me not to wander to the right or to the left. As we go through the rest of the message this morning, my prayer is that we understand that there are distractions. There are things that Satan and the world and those around us would like to get us to follow, to walk along with, and maybe even get us to do that so that they feel justified in doing it. But brothers and sisters, there is one way that we need to pray that is clear to us, and that is the way of God. What gets me to turn my head and follow my nose in the wrong direction or stumble on the way? Let's look at a couple of thoughts here as we think about this verse of looking straight ahead and traveling where our nose is pointing. What about spiritually? What in my life gets me to turn my head spiritually and look off to the side and look in the wrong direction and be led in the wrong way? A couple of things that came to my mind was, what am I reading? You know, there's a lot of books out there, and I believe it was Brother Gary in the Sunday school was talking about reading the Word of God and letting it impress upon us and letting it work its work in our hearts and in our lives. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to tell you that it's not just the Word of God that can make an impression upon us as we read it. There are a lot of good quotes, there are a lot of good books, there's a lot of good writings out there that we can read and be inspired and be led in the right direction. I'm not saying that the Word of God, the Bible, is the only thing that we may read. But brothers and sisters, we better know the Bible well enough that when we read something else, we don't allow it to turn our heads to the right or to the left. Good friends of ours over last night at our place. Had them there for supper. And some of you may know him. How many of you remember Stan Leed and Mike Leed that came to Leola? Many of you do. Well, Brother Mike and his wife Deanna were at our place last night for supper. Brother Mike was just ordained minister in Georgia in the month of June. And he and I have had a friendship that's gone on for a number of years. It goes way back to when he was still a wayward youth. And he got his CDL, and when Clement and Mary Lynn moved out to Missouri, Mike went along with me to help drive the truck. And he was really anxious to go, and there was some concern because there was some youth out there in Missouri that they did not want Mike to get in contact with. And Mike wanted to go. And it was interesting. I met with him. I didn't know him that well. I knew he had been coming to Leola, and I'd met him there a couple times, talked with him there a couple times. But I met Mike at work. He came in there, and we were talking about the trip. And I said, Mike, I said, are you okay with being cooped up in a truck for a couple days with a preacher? And he said, Cliff, I don't care about that. I want to drive truck. Well, Mike and I had some good discussions, some good talks. We talked about these youth out there in Missouri. I told him, I said, your brother Stan is concerned. He said, I know. And he said, he has a right to be concerned. And he had arrangements made. He was going to be going to some acquaintance or family out there. But anyway, Mike and I had developed a good relationship, and we've been back and forth over the years. And when he was ordained, we talked for a little while. But anyway, that was a bunny trail. Mike and Deanna were at our place last evening for supper, and we got to talking about many different things. And one of the things that came up was, and this is connected to the point of being spiritually sidetracked, what and who do I listen to? We started discussing the podcasts that people listen to. We started discussing the vlogs that people are connected with. And we started discussing the YouTube preachers and influencers that people are connected with. And we agreed that many of them probably say the right thing. I just had an individual send me a link to a YouTube video of a man that is saying the right thing. But what can distract us from the right path is the life that those people are living, or the type of individual they portray. The link that I was sent, I said the man was saying the right thing, and he was right on. But he portrayed the casual lifestyle. He portrayed an individual that follows the fads of the world. He portrayed the type of person that I would not want influencing my children, or even standing up here in this pulpit and preaching to you, even though he's saying the right thing. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because what happens in those situations is we become so infatuated by this individual who is saying the right thing, and almost imperceptibly, their lifestyle begins to influence our thinking and our direction. Look at this person. They're a Christian. Why are we so strict with our decrees and standards? Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful who and what we listen to, because the words might be right, but you or I know very little about the life that is behind them. And that's the critical part. I can stand up here this morning and say all the right things, but if I go out and live an immoral life tomorrow, what influence will it be for you? And yet we allow those individuals to teach and to direct us. I'm concerned that spiritually we are being distracted, we are being led astray, we are being lured to the side, and we might stumble or we might leave the path. What's going to turn my head emotionally? And I'm afraid sometimes that we put too little emphasis on the emotional part of our being. Oh, every now and then we talk about somebody that had an emotional breakdown, or they have emotional struggles, or, you know, brothers and sisters, this morning, the emotions is a very real part of our being, of our health, and our decision making. I'm afraid sometimes we do not consider that enough. What can happen that will turn my head? When I am struggling emotionally, I tend to be very vulnerable to suggestions of a different thought or way. I'm emotionally in an upheaval. Maybe I'm depressed. Maybe I'm on a high. Whatever. Whichever swing of the pendulum I may be on. If I'm on a high, I'm ready to go. And something new comes along and I snap it up and away I go with it. And I run with all for all I'm worth. If I'm low, if I'm depressed, I'm ready for whatever answer can come along. Brothers and sisters, emotionally, we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be turned to the right or to the left. And I want to look at it on another side of this picture as well. an emotionally charged speaker can sway a large group of people. I've had individuals tell me, you need to listen to this preacher. He would fit into a Mennonite pulpit. Well, maybe he would. And maybe we ought to have a little bit more emotionally charged speaking in our pulpits. But brothers and sisters, if that's what we need, I'm afraid we're not listening to what's being said. And I'm not here saying that I have all the answers and that I'm the greatest speaker and that if you just listen to what I say, the tone of voice I say it in isn't going to matter. And I do like to listen to a fiery preacher. Don't get me wrong. But we need to be careful. There's a lot of fiery preachers out there that are preaching a partial gospel. And they don't fit in the Mennonite pulpits. Emotionally charged speakers can sway a crowd. And we need to be careful that we don't allow the emotional charisma or whatever of a speaker to get us to follow our noses in the wrong direction. I want you to listen very carefully to what I say this morning, and if it's wrong, I want you to tell me. I don't want you to follow your nose or my nose in the wrong direction. I'm human. I make mistakes. And might have some wrong ideas in my head that might come out in a message like this morning. God forbid that I would sway any of you in the wrong direction. And that is why I say we need to know the Word of God. We need to know what the Bible says. We need to understand the truth. So that when there's something that is a little questionable, we're not ready to run after it because it sounds good. But we're ready to look into the Word of God and see if these things be so, as the noble Bereans did. Physically, what turns my head? And by this I mean, what makes me do and say and act the way I do? The things that people can see. What makes me do those things? Is it because I have my eyes turned straight ahead and I'm following my nose on the right path? Or is it because I've allowed things to distract me and I'm wandering here and I'm wandering there and doing this and doing that? I'd like to ask you the question this morning that has come up in my mind so many times, and I don't have a real good answer for it other than pride and self. And that is, why do we as professing Christians, why do we as conservative Mennonites have a habit of following the fads and fashions of the world, maybe just a little bit, maybe not quite as far, or maybe not as soon as the world does? You know, we wait a little bit and then we kind of follow on behind. Why? What is causing me to turn my nose in that direction and follow that? It's not the Word of God. Many years ago, I heard a minister say this, and I'm going to repeat it. I don't remember who it was. I do remember it was at some youth conference or something. His minister said, we have a tendency to think that if we don't go quite as far as the world, we're okay. And he used this example. He said, if the world's fad would suddenly be that you have a strip of bacon behind each ear and two fried eggs on your head, Would we follow that? Well, of course, we'd say right away, no, we wouldn't do that. But you know, to fit in, sometimes maybe we would just put one strip of bacon behind one ear and maybe only one fried egg on our head. And you laugh at that. And I did too when I was a youth. But you know, I've watched myself, my own life. And I've watched other people. And I've seen people walking around with one strip of bacon and one fried egg. Why? Where are my eyes? Where's my nose turned? I'm following my nose, but it's turned in the wrong direction, brothers and sisters. And we need to be sure that we do not allow those things to distract us. Why are we so eager to follow after the hairstyles and the car patterns and so forth of the world? I know why. Because I deal with it in here myself. You know that cool factor. There's nothing wrong with a couple extra lights on a truck, is there? There's nothing wrong with wide tires or loud exhausts on a car, is there? Whose pattern are we following? Where's our nose turned? I'd like you to ask yourself that question when you make a decision in life. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Whose direction, whose suggestion am I following? The Bible tells us that the things of the world are an abomination to God. The Bible tells us that he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And yet, for some reason, we have that tendency to just stay as close to the fence as we can. Well, here's the fence, and I'm still on this side of the fence, so I'm okay. If we believe in God, and we believe that his word is true, and we believe that following his commands are the only way that we can have salvation, are the only way that we can show our love to God and to Jesus Christ, and are the only way that we will gain heaven. If we truly believe that, if I truly believe that, why do I spend so much time over here by the fence, getting as close to those other things as I can? Which way is my nose turned? Financially, what do I spend money on? What is my goal for having a job and earning money? Is it having food and raiment? Let us be there with content. Or is it following those advertisements of things that you need? You got to have this. I remember many years ago, back when people still read magazines and there was a lot of advertisement in those, I remember a picture of a car. And the bold lettering under the vehicle, under the picture of the vehicle, said, "You have 15 seconds at a traffic light to make an impression." What was that advertisement telling you? What was that advertisement? Which direction was that advertisement having you turn your nose? It was that vehicle, because that vehicle makes a statement. Brothers and sisters, this morning, is that what we're spending our money on? Is that why we have our vehicles, to make statements? Sad to say, I've seen a lot of vehicles in a lot of Mennonite parking lots, and it looks like that's what we're trying to do. What do I spend my money on? Which way is my nose turned? Let us make sure that our nose, our eyes, are turned toward God and His way and truth, and that we're walking that path. Psalm 1, in closing, I'm just going to read these verses. I know we know them, but I want you to listen to them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's kneel for prayer.